just what did he know and when? What did he know and when did he know it? Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When did he find out who he was? And what did he do with that information? Can you imagine that? Well, I'll tell you this. I doubt anyone has ever told you this, but the Son of God did not even realize that he had been born. No, that's right. Do you remember when you were born? No. I think that information is in our brains. It's in our memory banks. And someday that the knowledge, the experience of coming through the birth canal will dawn on us when we're made complete in Christ. And we'll have a working knowledge of all those things. Not sure what the benefit of that would be, but my point is that how humble was our Lord that he had all the mental incapacities of an infant. I was talking about an infant last week, how an infant can't be a believer, neither can an infant know that it is the Son of God, and that its father was not Joseph, and that it was not generated by sperm. And oh, good Lord, I'm right next to the frickin' air conditioning thing. I forgot. I might have to move. That's a little aggravating. But yeah, I'm just going to roll with it. Just going to roll with it. Didn't even think of that. It reminded me of when my friend and I were camping in the California desert in 1980 on my first transcontinental bicycle trip. We camped at a schoolyard. We didn't get there until about 6 p.m. It was in Hemet, California, and we kind of snuck our tent behind this schoolyard. And we put our tents, and then at about, we fell asleep instantly, we were exhausted. About midnight, all of a sudden we hear this, and our tents were getting soaked. Well, we put our tents right on top of an automatic sprinkler. Yeah, automatic sprinkler system. We were so tired we just slept through it. We were soaked in the morning. It was just a glorious time. And I'm at it again. That's a. Yeah, I had to move because the neighbor came out. I try to find new places. Oh, look at this. This is kind of a nice background. I think I'm going to keep that for a while. This is pretty nice. This neighbor will probably come out. Anyway, back to Jesus Christ. Yeah, he didn't even realize that he had been born. So. And he didn't realize that he was the Son of God until his daddy told him. Can you imagine that? Mary says to Joseph one day, did you have the talk with him? In this family, the talk was not the birds and bees, although that talk was necessary as well. But with Jesus, it was the Messiah talk. Have you had the talk? And so Joseph had to have that talk. The only dad that ever had to have the Messiah talk with his kid. He had to tell him that he was the Messiah of Israel. He probably showed him some prophecies in Daniel, because of course Joseph knew, because the angel had told him that his wife was not pregnant by the usual means, and he had to be told that in a dream. The angel Gabriel came to him, because otherwise he just wouldn't believe it. That sounds like the craziest excuse in the book. Like, it seems to me you're pregnant. Honest Joseph, it was the Spirit of God. Right. So you had to have some supernatural assurance of that. And so that happened. And so Joseph knew, you see. But what's he going to do? Tell his kid when he's like 2 months old, the kid doesn't even understand Hebrew or Greek or nothing. Aramaic, Hebrew, Greek, English, Spanish. Doesn't know any language. That's how humbled he was, you see. So he had the Messiah talk. And he found out probably before he was 12. I think he's 12 years old, right? When he's at the temple talking to the elders there. And he knows quite a bit at that time, because I imagine he gets in the fast lane. He was homeschooled, no doubt, although he probably learned from some rabbis around. But he did learn we have that verse that Jesus Christ learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And if his school was anything like my school, he suffered during school. It was probably a pain, but he was a fast learner because he did have a little bit of an advantage, I would say, in the learning department, being the Son of God. So he went to the head of the class, and we know that when he shows up at the temple, when they're there, his mom and dad took him to the feast, and he's astounding the teachers there at an early age. So what did he know when? He knew he was the Messiah probably, I'm guessing, 6 or 7 years old. His dad took him aside, showed him the prophecies of Daniel. Now, I do not think, and I'm going to get to this later in this talk, yes, I do not think that not even Joseph or Mary knew the manner in which he would die. There's no freaking way they could have known that he was going to be crucified. It would be too much for them anyway. God wouldn't have done that. No, that's too much. It's bad enough dealing with it as it happens in real time, the unfolding of it, but no. But they knew that Messiah would be cut off, right? Daniel chapter 9, when Gabriel announces the 77s. Isn't it interesting? Gabriel seems to be the angel that has to do with the coming of Messiah. This is an immortal being, Gabriel, an angel, an esteemed one, though, and one who seemed to be assigned to Israel. Isn't that interesting? The same being spoke to Daniel what spoke to Joseph. And this after 69 sevens, the Messiah would be cut off. What does it mean, cut off? And there would be no adjudication for him, is in Daniel. Daniel 9:27, something like that. What does that mean, no adjudication? Adjudication is judgment. There would be no, my take on that is right judgment. There would be, he would be cheated. He would be robbed. There would be no adjudication for him. But what did it mean he'd be cut off? I think Joseph, the father of Jesus, probably knew that his son was going to be an offering for Israel's sins. And probably saw the prophecies, probably saw the Old Testament types, and in the Old Testament type, the lamb was offered for the sins of Israel. And Joseph was told, I think it's by Gabriel, that his son would take away sin. He knew that this Messiah was going to redeem Israel. Not sure if he thought he was going to be a political Messiah then. Probably did. Probably didn't see the two comings of Christ. Joseph did. Probably didn't. I'm just talking to you here. I'm not sure about this, but maybe as Jesus's ministry went on, Jesus certainly knew. So you know what? There was a day when things reversed. Here's something for you. There was a day when the roles reversed and Jesus began teaching his mother and father. Like, this is the first coming. This is the coming in humiliation. And I'm going to be cut off. And if he knew it was going to be crucifixion, I bet he did not tell them. But I think Joseph thought that he would, if he was to be an offering for the sins of Israel, and if he was to be the answer to the types, then he would be killed as the sheep, as the goats, as the bulls were killed for sacrifice in Israel, which was merciful. Their throats were slit, the blood was drained, and without blood, they knew that, without blood there is no propitiation for sin. So they knew that it was, I think, going to be a death. But they probably comforted themselves thinking, well, it'll be just like the lambs in Israel. Which, if only, right? If only. No, it was worse. It was crucifixion. Didn't see that one coming. Jesus did. Pretty sure. There were prophecies about cursed is anyone hanging on a tree. They didn't go there. No, I don't think so. Honestly, don't think so. Now, here's my question to you. And then I'm going to get to this crucifixion business. But I do want to ask this first. Maybe I'm doing this in the wrong order. We'll find out. When did Jesus Christ realize that he was more than the propitiation for the sins of Israel? that it was for the sins of the whole world also, and not only the whole world, all humanity, besides the little tract of Israel, but for the celestial world. When did he realize that? Well, I think he definitely knew it. And I get that from what he said to Nicodemus in John 3. And I read this last week. I'm going to read it again. John 3, 12. Remember, he's having that conversation with Nicodemus about being born again. And Jesus is referencing Isaiah about a nation being born at one time. And born again having to do with the nation Israel, not individuals. Individuals aren't born again. Being born again, Christians have just misused this like they have everything else. Being born again is not a good Israelite here, a good Israelite there, or somebody believing they're born again. No, no. Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye, plural in the King James, ye must be born again. In the Concordant, it says you, but there are three vertical strokes above the you, which is plural. How do I know that? I got inside information. I just read the tools at the front of the Concordant version that tell me how to interpret these things. So anyway, Jesus ends up saying this. He kind of mocks Nicodemus. You're a teacher in Israel and you don't know these things. What's the matter with you? And then he says, if I told you of the terrestrial and you are not believing, how should you be believing if I should be telling you of the celestial? So Jesus had lots of information concerning the celestial. And as he went through his life, as he prayed to his Father, he realizes, he looked up at the stars, looked up at the sky. I think he realized more and more. And this is really the only evidence I think we have of it. He mentions the word celestial. So I think he knows that his death, his sacrifice, is going to be more than just for Israel. And at that time, it's probably occurring to him that he's more than just a type of the lambs of the Old Testament. And so that his death is going to be more violent. It's going to be a blood fest. It's going to be a torture fest. And, I don't think he had that conversation. I don't think he had that talk with his parents. I think he just thought, well, let's let it play out in real time. But look at this. I saw this morning, and I realized that this is what I wanted to talk to you about. 1 John. Now, this is the same John that wrote that account that I was referencing, John chapter 3. But John's getting a clue here, and he says something very radical for a circumcision writer. And he says it in 1 John 2:2. And he is the propitiatory shelter concerned with our sins, yet not concerned with ours only, but concerned with the whole world also. There was a loose saying back then, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, John the Baptist, takes away the sins of the world. But you could have taken that figuratively in that day. Sins of the world, yes. And it was probably easy for an Israelite to think just the immediate world, our world. But then you have this, where the comparison is actually made. And this is the most positively it is stated in the circumcision writings. Because it's comparing the whole world to the Israel world. And you're seeing it contrasted and compared. I'll read it again. 1 John 2:2. And he is the propitiatory shelter concerned with our sins, meaning Israel's, yet not concerned with ours only, but concerned with the whole world also. To me, this is such an important verse in the circumcision writings that I have it highlighted in orange, as you can see, orange. Besides black and white, orange is my favorite color. Martin Zender trivia. So this crucifixion business, if he's dying for the sins of Israel only, and if he's the type, if he's only the fulfillment of the type, called the anti-type, if he's the fulfillment of the types, then he should have only had his throat slit, and he would die mercifully as his blood drains out. When the blood drains out, there's no feeling, no suffering, and the Christ suffered. And we're saved by his blood. You heard me say this before? Saved in the blood of Christ has nothing to do with his literal blood, nothing to do with corpuscles, white blood cells, plasma. The blood speaks is a figure of speech for suffering, because the soul is in the blood, and the soul has to do with feeling and suffering. And Christ suffered a great deal. He suffered like we will never understand until we're snatched away and made immortal and have the full mind of Christ and we have the Spirit without measure, then we'll know. But the blood speaks of the suffering. And the suffering he went through had to have stunned the disciples, had to have stunned them. They were not ready for that, and they had no idea what it meant. They had no idea. They're actually, on the day of Pentecost, Peter is calling on Israel to repent of killing him, to repent of it. And so they never heralded the death of Christ per se. They heralded the sacrifice. They heralded that this is the Messiah of Israel. This is the one you have to believe in. But he died and he raised from the dead. So death and resurrection, yes, death and resurrection. But the manner of his death, the fact that it was a torture fest, the fact that he was on the cross for 6 hours, they didn't know what to do with that. They had no idea what that meant. It was so huge, so radical, so unexpected, so gory, so terrible that it didn't answer to anything in the Old Testament. You see, you couldn't look back and say, God, we never crucified any of the lambs or goats or bulls. This has gone beyond the types. This is something strange, and they had no idea what it was. But we see a clue here in John, the same guy who records that, if I tell you of the terrestrial, John's recording that conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus. What were you to do? It's like, Nicodemus, you don't even believe what I'm telling you of the terrestrial. What if, I'm getting eaten up by mosquitoes out here. That's why this camera's moving around, sorry. What if I were to tell you of the celestial? What if? But he didn't. He did not tell him. I gotta get up out of this grass. They're eating me alive. I'm being sacrificed out here. He didn't speak of the celestial when he was on earth. He did not. Did not. Not even to his mom and dad, I don't believe. Not even to his friends, not even to the 12 disciples. Because he was saving it. Who was he saving it for? You and I know who he was saving it for. He couldn't wait. Jesus Christ couldn't wait to get out of his Jew suit. And he couldn't wait to unburden himself concerning what had happened on that cross. Because nobody knew. The disciples, Peter at Pentecost, read Acts chapter 2. You don't get a clue during that inspired, Holy Spirit inspired speech that Peter has any idea what that was all about. Just that he was the Messiah of Israel, that he died, he was raised from the dead. He's a propitiation for our sins. He's the answer to the type of the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God, the ultimate Lamb. But as far as that six-hour torture fest, no clue. Jesus Christ saving it, wants to unburden himself. Finally gets out of his Jew suit, goes up to heaven, changes back into his Son of God, right hand of glory, celestial suit, shows up to Saul on the road to Damascus, and finally unburdens his heart and his soul concerning what that cross did for not only all of humanity, for the sins of the rest of the world, but for the celestial world also. We call it the gospel of the uncircumcision.